You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. I am Derek Jones and we'll be joined shortly by the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, in just a few moments on the Mitch Henderson Show. We'll be here at the Alchemist and Barrister each and every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Well, what a Saturday night it was to start off Ivy League play. The Tigers win it by the score of 68-65 in overtime. Princeton improves to 8-5 on the season. Meanwhile, Penn goes to 10-5 now. And before we bring in Coach Henderson, let's go to the final moments of the game as the Tigers were trying to hold on for a 68-65 win, but Penn had one final opportunity to try to tie it up.
They want Penn to catch it going towards their own baseline, not going towards the bucket.
Goodman tosses it in to Broder. Goodman gets it back, picks up Steve, steps into a three, missed it! Woods tips it around, lets it go, and that'll do it! The Tigers hold on! 68-65!
Princeton winning at 68-65 in overtime. As we bring in now Mitch Henderson, the head coach of the Princeton Tigers. Coach, welcome.
Great to be here again, Derek. And that was a heart attack happened all over again right there.
What a run it's been for the Tigers here over the last three games. All of these games over the last three have been very close. They've been decided, I believe, by 6 points total, and the Tigers have been able to come away with a win here each time. Before we get into the game specifically against Penn, what does it say about the team to be able to dig deep now three games in a row in close contests and grab a win?
It's a good sign. I think especially the most recent game against Penn, anytime you can win a game that is, I think could have gone either way, and you come out on top. You know, there are plenty of mistakes, and we watched a lot of those mistakes here in the last couple of days, but it gives you a lot of confidence, and especially from where we were a year ago, Derek, where we lost some of these close games, and we lost some overtime games, especially in the league. All I can say is it's got to move the needle. And what moves the needle is just finishing games. And we're learning how to finish things out and how to finish plays, how to play longer in possessions defensively. The group's really coming together.
And to that point, after last season, the team ended up playing a grand total of 6 overtime games and losing the final 4. That learning experience from a season ago, do you believe that has helped this team kind of transition into these close games?
It has to. You look at any kind of a game, and most of those games come down to about 4 or 5 plays, and in overtime games, there's about 10. And in this most recent game, we didn't score our first basket until about a minute 40 left in the first. In the overtime, Richmond had a nice little move inside, but. That usually costs you. But fortunately, our defense was what it needed to be, and neither team scored or could put the ball in the basket. So, I said to the guys today, I was like, look, it doesn't mean whatever happened, it's ancient history now. We've got to move on, and how are we better? And, I think somebody said today, we got to be just 1% better. I'm a big Indianapolis Colts fan. So right now.
Well, we're going to get to that later on.
Yeah. And they're doing great. So is Coach Mongelia. And, that's their thing, is get a little bit better each day.
And you take a look at the game on Saturday with the start of it. One of the tricks for Princeton last season against Penn was really the beginning of games and then kind of struggling to set and establish the tempo and control the game. The Tigers only led for a couple of minutes total in the two games. But early on, you could see that there was a difference, especially down low, in how physical the Tigers were.
Well, that starts with Richmond. He's provided an inside presence for the program. He's causing issues for everybody that's on the court. And I talked about him last week. He was here last week, but he makes such a difference in the game. I think he made our first maybe 4 out of 5 or our first 5 baskets all around the basket. And he's just, Penn, they put their junior and senior out there against him because they didn't want to put any inexperience out there. And that's, it just felt like a heavyweight game, and Richmond's a heavyweight kind of a player, right? He demands a lot of attention.
Huge game from Ariri Guzzo, 20 points, 7 rebounds in 35 minutes, and for his efforts, he wins Ivy League Player of the Week for the first time in his career. That has to be a special moment.
Yeah, it's great. You know, what's great for Richmond, his mom always asks him, she might say, someone might say to her, like, hey, Richmond played real well. She'll say, did you dunk? And he did. He had one dunk. So that's good. But I tell the guys all the time, the more they can throw the ball into him, the more it's going to come out, and the more that the team works better going inside out. So Jerome's pass to Richmond with about a minute 40 left in the overtime, that was a big play.
Taking a look at the home stretch, really, of the game, the final 45 seconds or so, many momentum swings. Yeah. Take me through that, because you have Penn get a couple of opportunities there to go to the free throw line. That's one of their Achilles heels. Mm. They were unable to really cash in on that, but the turnover gives them another opportunity.
Yeah, we, usually in a game like that, in my experience, we did enough to lose the game. And I think we were really fortunate when the game ended. We got to the locker room afterwards, and we knew that we were lucky to come out on top. However, we did just enough to kind of keep ourselves in a position to be successful. But, you miss a couple box outs, we were really lucky. We were even really lucky at the end of regulation. Now, I thought, too, we got a good look, and Richmond was right there. I thought there was a lot of contact underneath the basket. I'm sure they thought the same thing. But I guess I just tell you what, like, it's nice to come out on top. However, it was and I always said this, if win or lose, it was a heavyweight fight. It just felt it wasn't a really well-played game either way. There weren't any easy shots. It just was a really heavy game.
And then at the end, Devin Goodman gets that look at three.
Oh,
it was – it was as good of a look as you could expect under the circumstances, and that had to make you a little nervous.
Oh, more than nervous, passing out nervous. That's not what we intended. Mm-hmm. But, man, he got the look, and then they got the rebound. When that buzzer went off, it was just relief, Just thank goodness we were able to come out on top. And, we've got to do much better against a team like that in situations to be successful going forward. And the guys know that.
When you take a look at what kind of the game means in terms of having to play the same team twice, how much of a relief is it to kind of know that you got the win, the first win of hopefully two here in back-to-back games?
I love it. I mean, I love the NBA playoffs. I love there's a tournament called the CBI, and the finals of the CBI is the best 2 out of 3. It's a little bit of a long wait in between both games, but I love the game planning. Sort of looking at what one team did in one game and how are they going to be different and what wrinkles can we add. I'm sure they're doing the same thing. I think that's the fun part of it.
And no question, it adds a lot of excitement. And certainly one guy who was a huge help for the Tigers in a little bit of a different role last Saturday was Miles Stevens. He came in off the bench, but he had a major impact on the game. 11 points, a career-high 16 rebounds. Just showed so much toughness.
He was fantastic. And, he didn't. He hasn't practiced a whole lot for us, and we were sort of hopeful that he'd be able to make a major contribution. Not only did he do that, but I thought he dominated the game physically from the very beginning. As soon as he checks in, one play really stood out. He was underneath the basket on the floor, runs the full length of the floor, jumps, and like pushes two of our own guys out of the way and grabs a rebound. He had rebounds where he was falling on the ground. And then he and Devin connected for, what ended up being one of our most pivotal baskets on a little handoff. So I thought he was terrific. He saw double teams. He just played like a senior.
The Tigers, as a part of their victory on Saturday, 4 players in double figures. Richmond Ariri Guzzo led with 20. Also, Devin Kennedy with 12. Jerome DeRozier, who we'll hear from later, with 10. As well as the aforementioned Miles Stevens with 11. So much of games like that is about establishing an attitude. At least that's the feel you get from watching it. Certainly making shots is very important, but kind of establishing that low post attitude, rebounding, seems highly critical.
We 2 games in a row we've played, I think, 2 really high-quality college basketball teams in Arizona State and Penn. And The guys are really understanding, okay, this is what you got to do to win, and they're coming through. And you mentioned 4 guys in double figures. Sebastian just just barely missed it. But, you know, I just want to go back to that the last minute or so for
yeah,
a second.
Absolutely.
And you know, learning, and you mentioned, you asked me this question earlier. It's Sebastian's made free throws. Devin's made layup in transition and at the end of regulation. These are plays that, you know, the I'm seeing in practice. And for me, I always feel like once you start to see these things happen in practice, guys putting the time in to do it just a little bit more, they show up in games. But that doesn't always mean you're going to win. And it's nice to win. And now we know, you know, I'm sure you're going to lead into this. We know that this weekend is going to be a rough game. We're going out of the cluster. But what an opportunity for us to get a chance to go down there and play them again.
Absolutely. A big opportunity for the Tigers to jump to 2-0 in Ivy League play. We will take a quick break. And when we come back, we will get to this Saturday's game between Penn and Princeton. Part 2 of Penn-Princeton headed your way coming up this weekend. We'll talk all about it right here on 920 The Jersey and The Mitch Henderson Show from The Alchemist and Barrister. Stay tuned. More headed your way right after this.
And now, more of The Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to The Alchemist and Barrister here in Princeton, New Jersey. It's The Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 The Jersey as we bring you a look at Princeton Tigers basketball. And, Coach, as we take a look now this Saturday at the Palestra, what a challenge it's going to be for the Tigers this time playing in Philadelphia. How much of a challenge is it to take a look at a game you just won and figure out, okay, we won this game, how do we get better and move in from there?
Yeah, like I said before, I mean, I think that's the fun part. You take what you learned from the first game, you look over it closely, and then you got to move on, you got to treat it. It's not just like any other game, but you know, both teams gave each other different looks that maybe we hadn't seen. And then, you know, the personnel, like, so – you know, you're guarding a ball screen and you work on it all week, but now it's who are the X's and who are the O's, and now you've got to guard people. And, you know, somebody's first step, and, you know, it's different when you're actually on the court. So I think that part's fun. And then, like, Palestra is a really cool place to play a game, and they're really good, and they've had some huge wins there. They beat Miami, they beat Villanova there this year. So we know that they're going to be, and, you know, we just played. So, I think it's going to be like who makes who does a better job of moving on and learning how to move on from something that just happened, because, you know, like, there were a lot of adjustments made in the first game from both teams.
Absolutely, and when you look actually towards this game, the atmosphere was or is going to be a big thing perhaps. But last Saturday, going back to that for a moment, how about the crowd there? That was a big crowd and a loud crowd and an active crowd.
Oh, man, it was so good, you know. I got some friends here, the Casto family, and Lindsay Casto, who's sitting here tonight, was the winner of the Simon Says competition at halftime.
All right.
Simon Says to the max. I don't know, I got so many compliments. I was walking on Nassau Street on Sunday, and I heard two people talking about the game. And we have some people that were here last week and just said what a huge win it was and what an electric atmosphere. So I thought it was just terrific, and that all kudos goes to Molly, our athletic director, Thelma McCall, Kelly Staples, our sports information office, Cody, and you know, I can just go down the line, Jerry and Andrew. Everybody just put the time in to make a community effort, and we're all asking the same question: how do we do that again? It was terrific.
And the Tigers will get an opportunity to return to Jadwin coming up in late January, but with the Quakers here, do you expect them to kind of have that sense of urgency heading into this game, because you don't want to fall behind 0-2 in league play?
Yeah, well, they've got seniors that play significant minutes. They've got really good player in Kid AJ Brodeur. They've got talented young guys. They've got a staff that's been around. They won the league a year ago. Of course, they're going to know what's going on. I mean, we know that they're a very good team, and this is our last time seeing them maybe for a couple of months. So, you know, I'm sure just like they are, we're putting everything into it.
After this game, you kind of go on a little bit of a hiatus because of finals. How difficult will the next couple of weeks here be, because the emphasis kind of shifts a little bit away from basketball and into the classroom?
You know, it's part of who we are here. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy it, but it's 100% who we are here at Princeton. It's a long break. Yeah. You use the first part of the break for some pretty serious recruiting. I'm getting out on the road. Everybody is. on the staff, but we really try to use it as a chance to give the guys who are a little banged up some rest. And then we get back into it. And the key is again, seniors tend to – I remember I always tell this story, but we went up to Dartmouth 2 years ago. We weren't playing well. It was right after the break. And Steve and Spencer and Pete just sort of put us on their back and said, okay, 36 minutes into the game and said, all right, this is how you play. And, you know, you need somebody who's been there before to kind of show you the way when you take such a long break. Basketball is – such a rhythm game, you know. You've taken such a long break from competing. It's rough. So we try to do as much as we can. We have all these little tricks lined up for the break, and, we do the best we can.
How do you keep the rhythm going on Saturday? A couple of keys to victory for the Tigers.
Well, I think first we did a really good job taking care of the ball. You know how much I care about that. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to continue to do that in the first game. I thought that played a pivotal factor in Saturday's game, was getting more shots. And then we've got to execute what we're trying to do on both ends of the floor. And so by that I mean, so defensively, they're a really difficult team to guard. They present a lot of issues and matchups. But I think if there's foul issues either way for both teams, I think that's going to play a major factor in the game. So part of executing is not fouling, you know, staying in front of your man, but doing a good job of not creating situations where you put yourself in a position where you feel like you got to foul.
And you mentioned the foul-out situation. Richmond Ariri Guzzo fouled out on Saturday, and you were able to still kind of keep things at bay.
Costly fifth foul, right? But, you know, we were able to get it done. Again, I mentioned Sebastian's free throws there at the end. Jerome had a nice sort of grab the rebound. I mean, the kid Goodman's layup just rimmed out. You know, we could be having a very different conversation right now. We know that, and they do too.
Before we let you get out of here, something that'll be happening shortly after your game on Saturday.
Colts.
The Colts taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Thoughts?
You know, I don't get a chance to be a fan that often. I'm looking right here at Cooper Casto. He's here tonight. He's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But we're really happy that, you know, watching the Colts from afar, you know, I don't get a chance to see them that often. But, you know, I'm not a fan of much. You know, because when you're coaching, you just do your own thing. But I love the Colts. I mean, I love what Frank Reich's doing there. And, you know, I'll definitely borrow some things. You know, he's got this thing about being 1% better every day. I love that. I think it really resonates with somebody from Indiana. Just get a little bit better every day. And playoff football, you know, it's a lot of fun. They're going down. What a tough matchup for them, Kansas City. But, you know, we got our own game first. We pay attention to that. And then hopefully after a win, we cheering on the Colts.
Well, certainly the Colts have had the Chiefs' number a little bit in the playoffs, so hopefully that continues.
Yeah, I'm hoping Mahomes throws in a couple too many of those look-away passes that go right into the Colts' defensive back's hands. I was saying Coach Mongilia, he's a huge Colts fan too. But, yeah, looking forward to it. You know, but, you know, first off, I just want to thank you, Derek, for all you're doing here. It's really cool.
You.
And the A&B, Art, and his staff, and, you know, another great turnout here this evening.
Well, Coach, thank you very much for joining me here this evening. Best of luck to you on Saturday. And the Tigers taking on the Penn Quakers this Saturday at the Palestra. We'll talk
all
to
right,
you soon,
Derek.
Coach.
Thanks a lot.
Stay tuned. We'll have more on the Mitch Henderson Show in just a few moments. A reminder, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each and every Tuesday night for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game, and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. Break time, and when we come back, we will be joined by two more very special guests here, Jerome DeRozier and also associate head coach Brett McConnell here, all a part of the Mitch Henderson Show right here on the Jersey 920. Stay tuned. More headed your way from Princeton, New Jersey after this. Welcome back to the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 the Jersey. Derek Jones joined by right now two very special guests, Jerome DeRozier and also associate head coach Brett McConnell. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks for having us, Derek. This is great.
Thank you.
And so much energy and emotion going into last Saturday's win over Penn. Take me through your thoughts here down the stretch of that game, because it was so crazy going back and forth late in the contest with all the momentum swings.
Yeah, I mean, we really had to focus on, I mean, the scout. I mean, Brett's been going really hard with us over the last week. But we just had to double down on our focus and effort. And then at the end, you know, we made those really important plays, and then we came with a win. We celebrated, you know, in the locker room after, but we got to do it again in a few days. So, again, we've had really focused practices. We just had one today, and then we're going to keep, you know, doing that this week to get another win Saturday.
Coach McConnell, obviously so many times in that game it could have gone either way, and the Tigers were able to pull it out. What is it about this team's mental toughness now that allows it to kind of persevere in those tough situations?
Yeah, you know, I heard you ask Coach Henderson about the impact that maybe those four overtime losses in league last year, the impact that had on us this year, and I think the best answer I could give would be that there's a hunger, and it's a fuel that has been burning for a year now, that we want to make up for some of those mistakes we made last season, those close games we couldn't pull out. So this was our first opportunity in the league to make amends for a couple overtime losses last year, and what a great way to do it.
What have you noticed here from this guy to your left, Jerome, who has been really a revelation on the glass as a part of really a tough low-post effort for the Tigers?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, we've long known Jerome could make shots, and I say long known, it's about a year that we've known that, because as a high school player we weren't quite as confident. But we've known since his time here at Princeton, he's put a lot of work into making jump shots and outside shots. And I think the thing that's changed is a light bulb has gone off these past month or so, where he's just so focused on getting rebounds. And on both sides, offensively and defensively, he's crashing the glass. We always see him on film attacking the glass. And then I'm looking over here at your box score. The other thing that maybe goes unnoticed is 3 assists, no turnovers. And that's a huge thing for Jerome, to develop that, you know, ability when teams chase him off the three-point line, which is a major part of their scout, to be able to do things off the dribble, make plays for his teammates, take care of the ball. There was a post touch he had. He drew help, kicked it out to Jalen Llewellyn for a big three-pointer in the second half. So his game has evolved so much, and we'd love to see it continue.
The games against Penn last season were so different. Jerome, do you notice a difference in the team this year versus last year on your side?
For sure. I think just our guys are coming together so much more than last year. And like Coach said, their hunger. You know, we lost twice last year to them, and we don't want that to happen again this year. So we're really bought in, and we just want to beat Penn. You know, this is what we've been talking for the whole past month, and we can really feel it. The guys are happy when we're making plays, and it's actually really fun too. We celebrate each other. You know, we cheer for each other, and it's just fun. Last year was a little harder, you know.
This is your second time around in the Ivy League. Any differences? Any differences, I should say, from last year to this year for you in terms of mentality heading into Ivy League play?
I mean, like Coach said, I knew last year I was a good shooter. This year I know I'm a good shooter, and I'm still a good shooter, but I'm trying to, you know, work on other things. And the mental aspect has been really a big part of my game. So, you know, just going after those rebounds, crashing the boards, and then after that, when the guys are running after me, you know, getting me off the three-point line, finding my teammates. And that's personally, and then, I mean, that's what I've been working on, you know, every day, I guess. And it's paying off, so that's really fun.
Some of your other teammates, Richmond Arirguzo, Devin Kennedy, also, they've really helped establish the attitude down low in terms of grabbing rebounds. Where do you set that mentality, and how much of that is a part of practice?
We usually start with that. We do this drill called, just three-man rebounding.
Rotation rebounding.
And we start off with that because we know that that's going to be important. It's important in every game, but especially in Ivy League. I mean, Rich has been working for the past year, and I mean, so hard, and he's getting those important rebounds and making those finishes around the rim. And then our guards also getting rebounds, which is also very important. But especially in the Ivy, if we can get the rebound down and, you know, making sure we have every one of them, then, you know, we can focus on other things. So it's very important.
Coach, you've had a chance now to see Penn. They were a little banged up in the games before that. They were pretty healthy heading into that game on Saturday. Everybody expected to play, ended up playing.
Yep.
Anything surprise you from what you saw out of Penn?
I can't say there were too many surprises. I got to give our scout team a lot of credit. I mean, they were on it to all the teaching points that we gave them, and even some that maybe I didn't give them. They did an incredible job all week of demonstrating to our starting group and our reserves what Penn was going to look like. So I got to give those guys a lot of credit for helping us be really prepared for Penn in game one. And I'll be honest, I think in game two is going to be actually more unpredictable. game one, we've seen 13 or so games of Penn. I think we knew what to expect. After this first time of playing, they're going to make a lot of changes, a lot of counters, ways to go against the way we guarded them, maybe some different coverages defensively about the way we attack them. So I actually think game two might be more unpredictable. You may think we should be more familiar by now. I think it might be a little harder to predict.
It's interesting. Coach Henderson brought up that this is a little bit kind of out of the mold of the CBI tournament in the sense where you play the best two out of three and there's a little bit of space. It has that feel to it, like an NBA feel, almost like a playoff series where thing one happens and then you make an adjustment to get to part two. Is that a, kind of a similar take?
Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense to me. I think it's I'm actually really excited about it. I think it's cool to play a team twice in a week and such a local rival. We had a great crowd. I'm expecting a great crowd down at the Palestra. So we're gonna be really familiar, certainly, with some of the personalities. Jerome's high school teammates are you know, on the Penn squad, and our guys are getting to know them really well. So I think that adds to the element of the rivalry, too.
And A.J. Broder, one of those guys. Talk to me about defending him and dealing with him. Is that a negative or a positive, knowing a guy that well?
Well, I played with him for 3 years at high school, and I think I know all his moves, and that's actually a positive thing. I know what he wants to do. I know what he doesn't want to do. So I think I can guard him in the post very well. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're friends, but we're still competing and trying to win the game. So it's actually really fun, but also hard at the same time, which is exactly what we want, you know.
This is your second go-around in the Palestra. What did you think of visiting that gym the first time?
It's a cool place to play in. It's hard. The fans are loud. I'm sure we'll have a good crowd there, like Coach said. I mean, this place was packed, last Saturday. So it'll be fun.
And we talked about that a little bit. The crowd on hand Saturday, that was a tremendous atmosphere. And it really, I thought, helped add to the energy in the game.
For sure. I mean, they missed a lot of free throws at the end of the game. And I think that the crowd was the reason they missed so much.
At the end of the game, when you have those kind of tight situations where free throw shooting becomes a key, Sebastian Much hit a couple of key free throws down the end of the game to make it 68-65. They weren't able to do that. Does being home kind of add to that effect?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's always on your mind, even though you know players don't say it is. You can hear the crowd, people cheer, you know, saying some stuff to you. But it's really important to have fans and to hear them being loud. It's always fun.
You've had a couple of pretty good runs here the last couple of games here against Arizona State. Have you sensed a difference as this season has worn along for you from your freshman year to your sophomore year and your confidence level?
100%. I mean, my role is established really well this year. I knew it last year, but Coach, we had a discussion, and he made a really big emphasis on what my role was this year, and I think my confidence has just gotten really good, especially after Arizona State, and I think it's going to keep going up for the rest of the games.
Coach McConnell, we talk a lot about the Ivy League in terms of how strong the teams are from week to week. Is there anybody you saw on the non-league schedule this year who is similar to Penn?
Lafayette probably is the one that stands out the most that comes to mind. A lot of the dribble handoff and ball screen points of emphasis for Lafayette are similar to Penn, the way they space the court. I'd say they're probably most similar. There's aspects of probably lots of teams, but that one stands out the most.
And we will talk a little bit more about the Quakers and much more here on the Mitch Henderson Show in just a few moments as we continue along from the Alchemist and Barrister, which is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. Another quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Brett McConnell and Jerome DeRozier right here on the Mitch Henderson Show on 920 The Jersey, Fox Sports Radio. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister here in Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones with you on the Mitch Henderson Show as we bring you a look at Princeton Tigers basketball each and every Tuesday night here from downtown Princeton, New Jersey, as we are joined right now by Associate Head Coach Brett McConnell and star forward Jerome DeRose of the Princeton Tigers. As we take a look here at the rest of the Ivy League, Coach, talk to me about what the league looks like moving forward. Certainly, it picks up a little bit this weekend outside of the Princeton and Penn matchup, because you also have Harvard and Dartmouth starting up as well this weekend.
Yeah, the rest of the league season feels like a year away, right, doesn't it, with almost a month here between games. So I got to be honest, my focus has been almost solely on Penn. But I will say the league is excellent. You have your KenPom pulled up. I think the league's ranked 13th in the country out of 30-plus leagues. So the league is trending up. Harvard, obviously, very talented. Yale having a great season. Brown having a great season. The league as a whole, top to bottom, is really good. These guys know not to take any of the teams for granted, top to bottom. It's a really tough league.
One guy I wanted to ask you about, Jalen Llewellyn, who has struggled a little bit from the field here over the last couple of games. As a freshman, how important is it to kind of keep them keep that confidence level up for them, because you don't want to deter them from shooting, obviously, as he tries to get back into the groove?
Sure. Well, one of the big points of emphasis with Jalen is to, you know, also highlight so many great things he's done defensively. He's taken care of the ball for us. If you watch that film, he had three assists and a couple more shots go in, and it could have been six or seven. He did a nice job facilitating for his teammates. Some of those shots are going to drop. Some of them he can probably take better ones. And he knows that. He also got stuck with the ball a couple times late in the shot clock, late in the halves. But there were so many things he did to help control that game and the tempo of the game and get his teammates involved. So a lot to build on, and certainly we're looking forward to seeing him on Saturday.
He's been a big part of the team's success so far this season. Jerome, one guy I wanted to ask you about, one of your fellow classmates, Sebastian Much, who has really come on here over the last couple of games. What's it been like watching him kind of go through the evolution during the course of the season and play really well over the last few games in particular?
I mean, when your teammate does well, it's always fun, and you just want to keep, you know, cheering him up to get his confidence level up. You know, Sebastian and I, we've been coming in early before practice and shooting a lot with our assistant coach, Sky, and I think this, it just builds, yeah, like I said, builds up confidence, and it feels awesome. You know, we'd see him make shots, you know, have some good passes and get some assists, great rebounds too, and make him some clutch free throws. It feels awesome, you know.
Coach, as you see the team kind of progress here during the course of the season, how much of a grind is the Ivy League campaign? Because you have kind of, after this game on Saturday, that 15-day layoff, and then you get back in hot and heavy with back-to-backs.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Ivy League grind, and something that I'm really excited about. You know, you get to these back-to-back weekends, and you need to use your bench, you know, back-to-back. You can't have guys playing 40 minutes a night, and I look over here at some of the guys, Max Johns, who gave us a few valuable minutes, Elijah Barnes, who came in some key points. Those are guys, in addition to Sebastian off the bench and Jose off the bench, like guys that we're going to need big contributions from in the league season, and some other guys I haven't mentioned who are working hard in practice. So it's nice to see that bench continue to get stronger and stronger, because we're certainly going to need it in the back-to-backs of the Ivy League.
The concept of be ready has kind of been one of the themes of this season, it seems, for the Tigers. They've been able to call on players at various points to come up with big roles. We saw Drew Freiberg earlier this season against Iona come up with big three-pointers off the bench to really contribute to the team winning. And in this game this past Saturday, you mentioned Max Johns, and also Elijah Barnes comes in throughout the game because of, you know, the size of Penn as well.
Sure.
And then he's guarding the inbounds play late in the game, so you never know when your number's going to be called.
No question. Drew is a great example of that versus Iona. We don't win that game without Drew coming in cold off the bench. Elijah, who you mentioned against Arizona State, had two really, really big stops defensively in the post to help us close that one out. And, you know, with these close games, you need every single contribution, every single big play can be the difference. So it's been really nice to see that. These guys have been working hard.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say – I think that's the other thing that's different about this team this year. Everybody's always ready, because we know your name can get called any time. And people have been coming in, having great impacts on the game. And like I said, our confidence just keeps going up, you know. It's really fun.
The difference between starting and coming off the bench, is that a different mentality altogether?
I don't think it should be. I think no matter what, you should expect to play. If you start, if you don't, you know. I mean, I don't think it is.
Coach, when you look at how the last couple of games here against Penn played out last season, and then the game on Saturday, this past Saturday, and the game this Saturday, it seems like Penn has been able to grab control early on, and then the games last year, they didn't let go of it. This time, it changed.
Yeah.
How much of that is due to the team's experience and learning over the years?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think in some ways every team and every year is different, and I almost felt like Saturday we learned throughout the game how we were going to have to change coverages and even individual tendencies. So early on we took, I thought, their best punch, got down 8, 9, 10, whatever it was early in the game, and we kind of grew up within those first 20 minutes to come away with the lead at halftime after that rough start was really I was impressed by the guys' ability to make those adjustments on the fly. And then, you know, you compare last year's game, the first one at the Palestra, a really big offensive rebound that Max Rothschild got when it was a two-point game. We could have had the ball with a chance to tie, and we just missed that key box out. So there's so many little things late in the game that can go right or wrong, and just enough went right for us on Saturday.
How tough of it is it to manage kind of the physicality and the foul situation during the game in a really a contest that you saw a lot kind of let go, kind of go back and forth during the course of the game? Had to be frustrating at times.
For sure. I mean, you know, Jerome knows this well already. Every single time you play Penn, it's going to be a really, really physical battle. The best three refs in the world could call a great game, and it's still going to be guys pushing you in the back, smacking you on the forearm, jumping over you for rebounds. So we know what to expect. And, you know, Richmond being on the tip of my tongue here with keeping out of foul trouble, like, we know that's important. And that's where the bench we talked about, the depth we talked about, different guys to be able to guard their guys in the post, Jerome, Sebastian, Elijah, to give Richmond spells here is going to be really, really important on Saturday.
Jerome, we talked about A.J. Broder, one of your teammates. How much pride do you take in that Northfield-Mount Hermon connection and seeing a lot of those guys succeed around the country?
It's great. I mean, every game that we play in the Ivy, there's always an NMH alum. Mm. So I know, I know it makes our high school coach very proud. And it's always fun because, you know, I get to play against an old teammate.
You know, Derek, Jerome got to guard Broder once in the post. They called a foul there. What do you think, Jerome?
I think he flopped. I mean, AJ's good at that. You know, he knew. I mean, he knows I'm stronger than him. So he tried to buy one. He tried to do it again in the next possession. It didn't work. But, you know, all those – it's fun. Like, it reminds me of when we went to high school together. We used to do that in the gym. And, you know, on a Saturday, we would just play and go at each other. And then we get to do it again. So it's like it's a family outside of high school as well. It's fun.
That is interesting. You know what he's going to go to down low as far as, well, he might flop here or.
Yeah. Derek, I won't give away the details, but I, every single day of the week, of this week leading into Penn, last week for game one, we go through the scouting report. AJ Brodeur, obviously, a very big part of that. I can't get through a clip without Jerome cutting me off to say, hey, look out for this, watch out for this play. And he was on it. He knows the tendencies. We can't give him away, Jerome.
No, I know. But 3 years with him, you get to know what he does. I had to guard him a lot, so, you know, and he still does the same things, you know, so.
How many of those guys do you stay in contact with that you played with?
I would say over 10, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, most of my classmates, so I think there were 7 of us, so, we stay in touch all the time. And then the older guys, like Ian Sestero at Dartmouth, we got Chris Sullivan at Brown, you know, so also the older guys, so there's a lot.
An impressive community of basketball players that have succeeded in the Ivy League. We'll take another break, our final break of the broadcast, and wrap things up here from the Alchemist and Barrister. Stay tuned. We will have more on 920 The Jersey, Fox Sports Radio, headed your way right after this.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones with you on the Mitch Henderson Show, which will be here at the Alchemist and Barrister every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. as we bring you an inside look at Princeton Tigers basketball as we wrap up here with Jerome DeRozier and Associate Head Coach Brett McConnell. Gentlemen, next couple of weeks here are challenging for the Tigers because you don't have any games really up until the D3 game on the 27th against Wesley. How difficult will it be to stay sharp and kind of keep that razor's edge regardless of what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that first, I guess, Jerome. I mean, we rely so much on the individual work of these guys to you know, work around their schedules on days where they're preparing for finals and writing papers. So a lot of that is them being self-starters and self-sufficient, calling a coach up, trying to get a workout in when they can. We don't get the full group together nearly as often as we like, so we rely on these guys. How do you balance it, Jerome?
Yeah, I mean, this week has been important, especially, I mean, we don't really have classes, so we've been getting ahead on our work. So when we actually don't have games, we can come in more often. I mean, that's what I've been doing. I'm sure the other guys have been doing the same thing. So you want to make sure you get your done early, you know, just to make sure you can come in and do some extra work.
Do you ever get tired of day after day of going up against your teammates? You're like, I really would like to play against somebody else and get a chance to kind of – because does that add to the excitement level on Saturday against Penn?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's fun to play games. You know, mm-hmm. It's great. But at the same time, we know what we have to do, and we know what we want to accomplish. So going after each other for a while is actually – it's fun. It feels like spring and fall, you know. So we love to do it. That's why we play the game. So it's always fun.
Coach, some of the challenges here about being on the road, the start of these games, how crucial is that when you go on the road, especially in an Ivy League contest?
You know, I'm so happy that our schedule has been as challenging as it has been on the road, because does it get much tougher than Cameron Indoor Stadium?
No.
We played there. We had an awesome win in front of 10,000 people at Arizona State. We played in Madison Square Garden. I mean, we've played in some great road venues against some really good teams, and I think that's going to make us well prepared for playing down at the Palestra, although nothing prepares you like a real true Ivy road game as an Ivy road game. So we're going to learn a lot Saturday about, especially the younger guys.
You mentioned Madison Square Garden. Jerome, what was that experience like playing in MSG?
It was great. I mean, they had a lot of fans there because St. John's, you know, from that area. So they had a lot of fans. It made the crowd even louder when we were shooting free throws and, you know, warming up and stuff. But overall, I had never been to Madison Square Garden before.
Wow.
Ever, to watch a game. So my first time there was actually playing on the court. So it was actually pretty fun. I mean, I would love to go back to play another game or even just to watch one, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome.
That was an incredible atmosphere.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I grew up, you know, maybe the opposite of Jerome. I still have yet to play at Madison Square Garden. But going to Big East tournament games and I've been to a couple Knicks games. So I was like really, really special experience for me.
Yeah.
And now from MSG to the Palestra on Saturday, a couple of keys here for the Tigers.
You know, A.J. Brodeur is the focal point, as always, right? So you have to contain the opposing team's best player, the best big. We can't let him get us into foul trouble. We have to be really solid on him. They had some key second chances on offensive rebounds, so I think boxing out is going to be another key. And one-on-one defense. They have plenty of guys on the perimeter that can beat you one-on-one as well. Goodman, Woods, these guys are tough to contain one-on-one. So those are the keys for me.
Actually, there's one guy I wanted to ask you about, Michael Wong, one of their standout players, freshman. How difficult is it to prepare for a guy like that who, A, has missed a couple of games because of injury, and he's a freshman? You haven't seen him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he has played a really big role for Penn in some of their big wins against Miami. And obviously, there's a couple you can look back on that he played a big role. So we rely on those films, despite him being injured against Toledo and Monmouth. So we have a bit of a feel for him, but I don't think we've taken his best punch. I think he's probably still last Saturday, maybe not at 100%. And I think we got to be ready for what we saw earlier in the season from him.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me this evening. It's a fun time. Jerome, welcome back. Coach McConnell, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
As well. And best of luck to you on Saturday.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Time to head down the home stretch here of the Mitch Henderson Show. A reminder, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. So the Tigers will play on Saturday at the Palestra with a tip time of 2 p.m. And then again, as we said, that layoff of 15 days until Wesley back at Jadwin Gymnasium on Sunday, January 27th. And then you head back to back-to-backs, beginning with Columbia and Cornell on the road. And very interesting game here coming up on Saturday, because If the Tigers can grab a win over Penn, that would put Princeton obviously to a 2-0 mark in the Ivy League, and then Penn would drop back to 0-2. And granted, while the season series would be over, you do not want to drop into an 0-2 hole, and certainly for the defending Ivy League champion, Penn Quakers, that would be a little bit of a hole to dig out of in terms of getting to that top spot in the Ivy League. Clearly, with the Ivy League tournament on the way in March, it would be a pretty good indicator of maybe where things could be headed in the long run in the Ivy League if Penn does, in fact, drop 2-0-2. But again, as we mentioned a little while ago, the rest of the Ivy League does not get into action here really en masse until the back-to-backs begin on February the 1st and the 2nd. Harvard and Dartmouth will play this Saturday at 7 o'clock in in New Hampshire, as the Crimson take on the Big Green. And it will certainly be an opportunity to see the Ivy League kind of unfold its picture as the season wears on. And it's pretty interesting that Harvard, we have not seen Seth Towns and Bryce Aiken as well, two of their key guys, and two players who could have a significant impact for Harvard, but they haven't really been in the mix so far this season. And if they are a part of Ivy League play, certainly that could be a big challenge for all those involved. But the Tigers have an outstanding opportunity headed their way on Saturday to perhaps take a two-game lead over the Penn Quakers with a season sweep, which is something that Princeton has been used to doing in the past against the Penn Quakers up until last season. Well, Tigers and Quakers on the way on Saturday. We'll remind you that you can catch us each and every Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 here at the Alchemist and Barrister on the Mitch Henderson Show. I'm Derek Jones saying so long, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good night, everybody.